the exaltation of the cross, on the liturgical calendar has the equivalent means of Good Friday. If you look on the church calendar, you'll see that today is a strict fast day. And unlike most Sundays of the year, when we are proclaiming the resurrection of Christ, the gospel lesson this morning is actually the gospel lesson from Good Friday, the crucifixion of Christ. But today is also one of the great feast days of the church, so it's a feast that, while the food, anyway, is celebrated with austerity, is celebrated with great joy. We call this the universal exaltation of the Holy Cross. This day commemorates an historical event. History tells us that the true cross of Christ was found on this day in the year 325. And in addition to being a historical event, it's also an opportunity and occasion for some spiritual reflection. Let's look back at history for a moment. Imagine a day like today, in the middle of September, in a hot desert, where there are none of the modern conveniences, no iPods, no cell phones, no air conditioning, no phones. And a woman with a band of soldiers digs on a hillside where 300 years of deliberately trying to cover up the cross of Christ is trying to be undone. All the people that were unfaithful to the Christian message, they went to this place, Golgotha, where the crucifixion had occurred, and they buried the cross, and then they built a temple on top of that, and they put a statue on top of that. And St. Helen and his band of soldiers were working for a long period of time to destroy all the 300 years of stuff that had been piled up on top of the cross. And then they found the three crosses that were used on that Good Friday to crucify Jesus and the two thieves. And not knowing which cross was the cross of Christ, there happened to be a funeral procession going by that way, and they took the person who they were burying, and they laid that person on top of three crosses, and when they were laid on the cross of Christ, they came back to life. This is why we call this the life of the cross. Not only Jesus gives us life through this cross, but that day in Jerusalem, someone came back to life because they were laid on top of it. The cross was carried into Jerusalem in great triumph. It was held by the Archbishop of Jerusalem. Everyone, there were hundreds and hundreds of people there, and they all got on their knees and they sang Kyrie, Lord have mercy, in giving glory to this beautiful and powerful symbol of Christ's death and resurrection. Now imagine again the throngs of Jerusalem that day. The Christian message was in its infancy in a public way. For the first 3+ centuries of Christianity, Christianity was a forbidden, persecuted religion. And only in the year 313 did the Emperor Constantine, through the Edict of Milan, make Christianity the legal religion of the Roman Empire. And so the people in Jerusalem that day, undoubtedly, there were many people who were curious, perhaps even confused, what they were seeing. This cross lifted up over everybody's head and being proclaimed in triumph that this is a symbol of glory. And each person that day looked upon the cross in a different way. There were probably some committed Christians who were joyful to see the cross on earth. There were probably some people, as I said, who were confused what was the whole big deal about anyway. Maybe there were even some people who were disappointed. Maybe people that were skeptics of the Christian faith that were now disappointed that there was further evidence of its validity. And so it is today. People look on the cross in a different way. Some people are seeing the cross as a threat. In reading the sports shorts the other day, I forget what state the high school was in, but there was a big to-do that a high school football player had a cross, a sticker of a cross on the back of his football helmet. And people were making a big deal and threatening lawsuits about a piece of paper stuck onto a kid's helmet. I don't see how that can be a threat, a person wearing something that expresses that they're a Christian. Some people see the cross as a lucky trinket. They don't go anywhere without putting their cross around their necks because that's somehow good luck. Some people see it as a sign of identification. I'm a Christian. Christian, so I have to wear one of these things. And some people see it as a sign of happiness, a sign of hope. The cross was once a sign of shame. It was the worst way to die. If you know anything about Roman history, you know that they reserved crucifixion for the very worst of the worst criminals, so that they not only died in a painful way, but in a humiliating one as well. This implement for torture was the wood of a tree. Now, if we go back to Genesis 3, we know that the cause of the downfall of humanity, the fall, the great fall from paradise, was also a tree. And how beautiful that the bookend that opens the path to paradise, again, for us, is also the wood of a tree. We fell from a tree, we are saved also from the wood of a tree. Partaking of the tree of good and evil, and uniting with that caused our fall, and gazing down the tree of life is now our ticket to salvation. In sort of an anomaly, the Sunday after the Holy Cross is the Sunday where we read about the taking up of the cross and following. And normally, during the year, we have this procession on the feast day of the Holy Cross, whatever day September 14th is, and also the Sunday after. This year, we only have the procession once, because the day falls on a Sunday. But the theme of taking up the cross and following has great appropriateness for this day of procession. Christ, when he was carrying his cross on that Good Friday, that cross was so heavy that even Christ was stumbling and needed the help of his fellow man to carry the cross. It wasn't the angels or even his friends who were helping him to carry the cross. It was a total stranger, Simon of Cyrene, if you read the gospel. Now, we all carry crosses in our life. Everybody carries some cross. There's no one's life that's 100% easy all the time. And these crosses are real. And for some of us, they're very heavy. I was speaking last night to a young woman from Tarpon Springs that I've spoken about here before. Her name is Tahula. And I called her up for our name day. And I actually have very good news that she's in the hospital, which is a good sign. And she's going to get listed for a heart transplant, and hopefully that will happen in the next couple of weeks. But she's going to stay in the hospital until that happens. That's a very heavy cross for a 25-year-old girl. Many 25-year-olds are thinking about, who am I going to marry, and what am I going to do for a job? And here's somebody who's thinking, am I going to be alive this Christmas? That's a very heavy cross. But I'm with joy that hopefully that cross is going to get lighter from this impending surgery. There's somebody else from my former parish that none of you would know, that I was reading the story in the newsletter from my old parish, that I get that newsletter, that the son of his family is now going to college, and he's going to college away from home. And what's so special about that? Lots of our kids go to college and go away from home when they turn 18. But what's so special about this person is that he's autistic. And when that was diagnosed many, many years ago, it brought such stress to this family and such sadness. Is our son going to have a normal life just like everybody else? And what a great thing that now this person is going to have the life that everybody else has. Although he carries a heavy cross, and so does his parents. Life circumstances, whatever they are, and looking out at our congregation, I know that lots of people in here are carrying heavy crosses. I've been here for 10 years, and as I walk around every Sunday, I know what a lot of those are. Things in your families, things with your children, things with your parents, things with your jobs, financial stress. Everybody in this community has got at least one of those things. And these circumstances often bring us fear, they bring us pain, they bring us sadness, and sometimes they make us feel like we're alone, like there's nobody else in the world who can help us. We all need help to carry the crosses we have, whatever they are. We need that help from God. We need that help from our church. We need that help from our friends. And we can even use that help from total strangers. And that help comes in the form of prayer, first and foremost, praying for one another. You know what power there is? If someone is laying sick somewhere and 1,000 people message them and say, I'm praying for you. You know what kind of power that is? You don't have to do anything. You don't have to make a trip. You don't have to open up your wallet. You just get on your knees and say a prayer for somebody. And when that person knows that 1,000 people or 100 people or 10 people or even one person is holding me in prayer, there's great power for that person because they know that they're not alone. This is a gift anybody can give anybody. And it doesn't cost anybody anything. It doesn't require anything except a little bit of your time. And help comes in the form of encouragement. Encouragement's a big thing. Just ask people who play sports, what's the difference between playing in front of an empty stadium and a stadium that's packed and everyone's screaming? People play better when they're being encouraged. Now the people that are cheering in the stands, they can't win the game on the field. That's up to the players. But somehow the players get this extra something, this extra oomph behind them, because they know they have the encouragement of thousands and thousands of people. So encouragement, again, is something that doesn't cost a whole lot of anything other than your time. So picking up the phone and calling someone and encouraging them. Encouraging them to come to church. Encouraging them for some people to live another day. Writing someone a letter and saying, I care about you. I'm thinking about you. We have such an easy way to do it. Even texting people. You don't have to do much. Just go on your phone and say, I'm thinking of you today. Encouragement is very important. And of course, we have tangible help, which comes in whether you're giving someone some money, whether you're giving someone some help, mowing their lawn for them, painting their house, buying their groceries, whatever tangible thing you're doing, that help is needed as well. 20 years ago, I went to Holy Cross Seminary in September of 1994, and now half of about 20 years have been spent in camp. And I'm thinking today, September the 14th, of the people at the seminary, the people that are priests, people that are graduates from there, like me and Charlie. I mean, if you ask me, honestly, do I have fond memories from the seminary? My fondest memory is the day that I graduated and I got to leave there. The seminary was not the beautiful, holy hill that we all read about. Far from it. So I don't wax nostalgic about my time there. I have great nostalgia for the people who went there and the people who have taken up the cross of the priesthood and have gone to the far front corners of our country to serve the church and to serve the Lord. We are trying. Charlie and I, and the other priests that serve our church, they're the graduates of our school, we are trying to articulate and live by example the gospel of Jesus Christ. And our efforts bring success with God's help and also with yours. But serving the church brings scorn and ridicule and anger from people. And so I'm praying for all those who are serving our church as priests and deacons, and all those who are graduates who are serving like Charlie, preparing for the priesthood. And I'm also praying for the people who are there at the school. I have several friends who are studying still at Holy Cross. Everyone, I would think just about everyone goes to that school for good reasons. But in some form or fashion, they get crushed under the weight of the cross that they carry there. When you get out of the seminary, they give you a cross. It looks just like this. Every seminary graduate has one. And I wear mine every year just on September 14th to remember the name day of our church and remember all the people like me who have one of these and hopefully are wearing them in good health today. Again, we have the beautiful procession of the Holy Cross commemorating the historical event from the finding of the cross. The tray is covered with flowers and basil, basilico, because basilico was found at the base of where they found the cross of Christ. And basilico, unlike most plants, you can cut it, which essentially kills it, but then you put it in water, and then it grows back, comes back to life, just like the Lord. They killed the Lord, and came back to life on the third day. And just like this beautiful procession is a metaphor for life, the tray is beautiful, the journey is long, the tray gets heavy right about three-quarters of the way through the church, and then you have to ask yourself, I have to ask myself, will I make it to the end of this long journey? Will I make it in joy? Will I make it in happiness? Will I make it in success? As I carry the tray and I look down at you as you are praying, I will be praying for you. And I ask that you pray for me as well. Let us help one another to make the cross that we're carrying lighter, not heavier. Let us try to turn our pains, our personal ones and our collective ones, into glory. We read the prayer at the Orthodox service that through the cross, joy has come to all the world. The cross went from the sign of pain to the sign of triumph. So in our lives, our pathologies, whatever they are, with God's help, we can turn those things from pain to glory. God accepts us and God loves us, even with our pathologies, even with our mistakes, even with our tendencies. We should accept one another as well. So take up your cross and follow, and help someone else take up theirs as well. about please meal, especially when you